And the film shows 31-year-old Alex Honnold climbing El Capitan, which is a 3,000-foot granite rock face in Yosemite National Park. And Honnold is known as is what's known as a free soloist, which has nothing to do with music at all. He climbs mountains, but he does it without any ropes or safety gear. And seemingly, there were moments during the making of the film when even the camera crew found it too scary to watch. So I'm not quite sure how Mark watched all 2 minutes, 45 seconds of the trailer, but he did just, although judging by the sound effects, it took his breath away. Reading today's gospel passage in Luke, I think we can safely assume that this whole experience known as the Annunciation took Mary's breath away. And I hope that this morning, as we look again at this very familiar story, we will enter into the wonder of it all and the journey that Mary made during this extraordinary encounter. Interestingly, whereas John's gospel begins with a cosmic perspective, in the beginning was the Word, it's sort of heaven down, if you like, Luke's gospel is earth up. He writes with this earth up perspective. He begins from human experience, first Zechariah and Elizabeth, and then Mary's experience. And the story for them is unfolded gradually, showing how Jesus lifts us to heaven. I think it's fair to say that some parts of the Protestant church have had a slightly ambivalent response to Mary over the centuries, not wanting to give her too much prominence. It's perhaps tiptoed around her for fear of detracting attention from the child that she was to bear. But I believe that we've got much to learn from her and much to discover here about God, about our human condition, and about the nature of faith. Over the centuries, hundreds of artists have been drawn to the scene, as you no doubt know, attempting to capture the essence of God's revelation and Mary's experience. And some of their interpretations will come up on the screen as I'm talking. So who was Mary? Well, until this point, she appears to have been nothing out of the ordinary, at least not humanly speaking. She came from a very ordinary little town called Nazareth, a bit of a backwater, which may have had a rather dodgy reputation. In fact, Nathaniel says in John's Gospel, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" But God chooses Mary of Nazareth. We don't know exactly how old she was, probably early to mid-teens, but old enough to be betrothed. And yet, although still a very young woman, she appears to have had a spiritual maturity beyond her years. Let's look first at how she responds to this angel, whatever form it may have taken. Initially, her response is one of fear. Luke describes her as greatly troubled. In other words, she's afraid, she's deeply disturbed, and who wouldn't be? Suddenly, she's overwhelmed by this extraordinary presence in her room, greeting her and telling her that she, a simple Jewish girl from next to nowhere, is favoured and honoured by Almighty God. Fear is an understandable human response, isn't it? We all have fears, whether acknowledged or repressed, which manifest themselves in different ways and at different times in our lives. But what do we fear? The unknown. Things we don't understand. Things we can't control. Things that might harm us or our loved ones. Things that might rock our world. And this experience certainly rocks Mary's world. Even though the angel comes with kindly and reassuring words, she is visibly shaken. As far as we know, this is way outside her normal, and she has no idea what's going to happen next. And maybe we can identify with that in some way. Perhaps we've had an encounter with God which has been totally out of the ordinary, a sudden awareness of his presence which was unmistakable and yet which we couldn't really explain. Or perhaps we found ourselves flung into a place of uncertainty and bewilderment, where everything in our lives was thrown up in the air and we had no idea what was coming next. I think what we see here reminds us that God recognizes and understands our fears, and yet he doesn't want us to be held captive by them. He brings assurance and comfort in the midst of fear. And although the angel has already told Mary that God favors her and is present with her, she needs to hear it again, as we so often do. Notice too how the second time the angel uses Mary's name to reassure her and to remind her that she is known personally to God, just as we are. Then Gabriel breaks the news, and what news it is. Though in one sense this is the longest planned pregnancy in history or even in eternity, for Mary it is most definitely an unplanned pregnancy, and with a difference. Can you imagine what went through her mind at that moment? Let's not romanticize this. Her world is about to be turned upside down. Her plans for an ordinary, quiet, respectable future, marriage to Joseph, settling down, maybe a family, are blown apart in a single moment. And that's before she's even begun to process the enormity of who her child will be. While she's reeling from the likely repercussions of all this, her brain is working overtime with the logistics of it all. How will this be since I am a virgin? She asks. And note that unlike Zechariah, she doesn't doubt that it will happen, but she's baffled as to how. This is huge, isn't it? And of course, her question has resonated down the ages amongst skeptics and believers alike. It's consumed some of the greatest minds, resulted in untold hours of debate, prompted endless pages of postulation and theorizing. Some have regarded it as a metaphor rather than a miracle. Many have dismissed it as the stuff of fairy tale and myth, a good reason not to believe at all. Even some who claim to believe the gospel have argued that the virgin birth was a fictional add-on to the story of Christ's birth to make him appear more special and prove to a skeptical world that he was who he claimed to be. Though I'm not sure why anyone wanting to establish a new religion would craft such a far-fetched story. The angel's reply to Mary goes, of course, against everything we know about human conception. And while her understanding of biology would have been extremely rudimentary, she knew enough to realise that this was going to require something quite out of the ordinary. I imagine that the angel's rather sketchy explanation didn't altogether clarify things either. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. What on earth would that involve? A word here about miracles. Although science has shown that the universe operates with established and proven laws, predictions about the future are always based on theory or opinion, not on fact. The weather forecast is founded on meteorological science, but is nonetheless not fact. Voting predictions, based on sophisticated polling techniques, research and the observation of human behaviour, can, as we know too well, be highly unpredictable and unreliable. So neither nature nor humans are 100% predictable. And just because something has always happened in a certain way, who can know for sure that it always will? If we believe in a creator God who established the laws of nature, why shouldn't he choose to operate outside their limits from time to time? It's an example, if you like, of God moving off-piste, turning our concept of reality on its head. So unable to explain scientifically what happened here, we either choose to believe it or we don't. But if it isn't the truth, then Jesus was merely human like the rest of us and not the Son of God, who he claimed to be. And if he wasn't the Son of God, then all of this is a hoax and a waste of time. But this, of course, is where faith steps in. Not faith which buries its head in the sand or dodges the obvious questions. Not faith which doesn't bother to think and puzzle and wonder. Not faith which doesn't strive to know more or long to understand. but rather faith which honestly recognises the limitations of our understanding, which humbly acknowledges the otherness, the wonder and transcendence of God, the fact that all things are possible if we include him in the equation. And this is the faith that Mary demonstrates here. Despite the extraordinary situation that she finds herself in and her limited understanding of what's about to happen, she says, "Yes, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." She affirms her willingness to cooperate with God, whatever the cost, and to embrace this totally unexpected turn of events. And it isn't a reluctant acceptance. There's no sense of resignation here. On the contrary, Mary rushes off to tell Elizabeth what's happened and then sings the Magnificat, a beautiful, spontaneous song of praise, which can only be described as an outpouring of worship. Clearly, she's moved from fear to questioning to acceptance to utter joy. There are times when we are called to accept what we don't understand, immensely difficult though that can be. And some, if not all of us here, will know that keenly from our own experience. The very nature of faith means that this side of heaven, there is not an explanation for everything. And sometimes we just have to live with, or even live, the questions. I think Mary's example challenges us to trust God in all circumstances, even if that means accepting the inexplicable. And it challenges us to recognise again that nothing is impossible with God. The film I referred to earlier, Free Solo, has as its strapline, "Live beyond fear." And a New York Times review describes it as a miraculous opportunity for the rest of us to experience what you might call the human sublime. How interesting that the reviewer uses the word miraculous. In the film, which remember is a documentary, the boundaries of human achievement are once again pushed back, and a feat that would once have been considered impossible becomes a reality. Who are we to set limits on what humans can accomplish? But far more than that, who are we to set limits on what can be accomplished by an omnipotent God? So as we draw to a close, some questions to ponder on, which I believe this passage asks of us. Are we open to encountering God's presence in our lives? Are we looking out for those thin places, the liminal places, which take us beyond the concrete physicality of our world, where heaven and earth appear to touch, where the transcendent descends? Are we prepared for God to reveal himself unmistakably in the daily reality of our lives? Do we confine God to the limits of our own reasoning, or are we willing, if needs be, to abandon ourselves to the mystery? Are we living in the assurance that with him nothing is impossible? Are we trusting God for our present circumstances, for the things we fear, for the unforeseeable tomorrows of our lives? And lastly, are we willing to serve him humbly, courageously, joyfully, whatever he may ask of us? These are big and important questions. They're printed on the back of your service sheet, and I'd really encourage you to reflect on them prayerfully in the coming week, busy though it will be, and beyond. I pray that God will use them to take each one of us deeper in our journey of faith in 2019. Like Mary, may we offer ourselves wholeheartedly to him, partnering with him in his purposes so that his kingdom might come and he might be glorified. Amen.
Amen. Could you leave that screen on?